26 to 28, overview of rasa. So now qualifications and disqualifications for tasting rasa. Rajanath, Gurudev, I am keen to understand what persons are worthy of successfully fathoming rasa tattva. Goswami, only those persons who are able to awaken achintya bhava by the profound gada samskara bhakti is just as just described are eligible candidates for rasa tattva. All others are barred. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 579. On the basis of bhava, sthayi bhava is established like a monument of breathtaking beauty and wonder. It is relished in a heart that is illuminated and cleansed by pure goodness. This is rasa. Yeah, so the basically what you can see is that without the blessings of Guru and Krishna, then this is not possible. One doesn't come. So there's no other process. It's not that the strict sadhana you following, the austerities, the knowledge you have, the analytical prowess that you have, you know, the charitableness, all these things, they won't produce bhakti. They won't produce a understanding or tasting of rasa. But they may purify and all that so that you have less and less, you could say, obstacles due to sin. But unless one gives up the idea that through karma and jnana you will be happy, then you can't get to this understanding. That's the important aspect. And so, and then of course, so we may, by that position, then appreciate, understand and appreciate, you could say, the rasa and all that. But the tasting of it that we see is then coming at the platform of bhava. From that point. So then from that, then you see it goes. That's what he's saying, is that then basis of bhava, then sthayi bhava. So from the rati, then it comes to the other aspects. You know, it's not that before that, when there's not some taste in Krishna consciousness, so there's some taste for this rasa. But since it's not constant and consistent, then we don't say that we're situated on that platform. Does that make sense? You know, so let's say a few times a year, if I come along and give you, you know, one very small bit of, you know, some mahaprasad, you taste that. So you can taste it, but and you'll appreciate it, and it will have, you know, a profound effect on the consciousness. But you can't say you're situated as one who's always eating mahaprasad. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that then it's coming here. So that it comes to that platform, so we can understand to get to bhava, that means that sadhana has to be proper. So the Madhyama platform will get you to bhava. Right? And then the neophyte platform will get you to the Madhyama platform. So in other words, by practicing properly sadhana bhakti by the grace of Guru Krishna, then one will come to that platform. Yes.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that sometimes devotees don't understand the difference between, say for example, ruchi,
yes,
as a stage and,
yes,
ruchi as a process. And we can do with any, like satsanga or bhajana kriya, as a stage, which has its own place, beginning, middle and end.
Yes.
And satsanga as the process, which, you know, as soon as we meet devotees, our satsanga started. Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly what you explained.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we have to differentiate.
Differentiate. It's the same, but at the same time it's different. See, it's yeah. just, because then also in another place then it's explained that it's bhava that extends down all the way to shraddha. That's why before that we don't have, it's just by associating with devotees, then you get, that's why you get all the avasa and all these aspects. But it will be, if it's in contact with bona fide devotees, then it will be agyata sukriti. So there's something there you can appreciate, because the soul by nature is ananda, you know, knowledge, eternity. So anytime you talk about eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the soul can relate. So then it's just a matter of appreciating that they go all the way through, but then there's a stage where then you become aware of it. That's all. So then you're aware of the taste, then you're aware of the attachment, you're aware of the ecstasy, and prema just means all these things are happening at once. So that always, you always have that, it's the maturest platform of faith, it's the greatest position of, you could say, the sadhu sangha. You know, it's the best, you're engaged spontaneously in the path of devotion. You know, you don't need the rules to show this is the path. You know what is the path. You know, so like that is that's what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Because
okay.
then trying to explain one, then people ask questions about the other.
Yes,
so we have to clarify what it is and
yes.
then what are we talking about.
That's the advantage of the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Then these very fine points are much more easily appreciated. Because you can see that something can be the same, but at the same time be different. There's something that makes it different, but at the same time there's commonalities. So we want to, with intelligence, show this is what's common, this is what's different. But Achinta Veda Veda Tattva is not an intellectual approach. You know, it's just it's the facts of what it is. It's not that it won't, the intelligence won't appreciate it. That's why it says the explanations in bhakti will be proper explanations, will be appreciated by the intelligence. That's because intelligence then discerns between what is what's the difference between things and what's the commonality. So analyzation is only doing that. So Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, it has that strong point. That's why you see the logic in that that's given by the acharyas of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva is then so refined. And then from that one can appreciate that kind of aspect. The rasas as a process are continuing experience, and then the stage where you're going through that, where it becomes prominent. And it's just like anything you do new. Let's say you have the person who's there on the Tour de France, like that. He's riding his bicycle, but he doesn't have to be aware of everything that he's doing on the bicycle. He just naturally does what needs to be done. But let's say you have a new kid who's starting to learn the right, the bicycle, they're very aware of the pedals or the handlebars or the balance. Or so then you'll say they're going through those stages. But otherwise, once that's attained, all those things are still there when in the advanced state. It's just there. Now it's a matter of tasting. You know, it's not understanding, it's tasting.
there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Jatabharat, preaching to King Rahugana, and he says, unless one is favored by a pure devotee,
yes.
you know, all the different items of devotional service, taking sannyas, deity worship, etc., he says, has no value. So it means that all the different items which are listed by Rupa Goswami have to be performed by the devotees, but unless they get the association of a pure devotee, nothing of this will come out successful in terms of realization.
Yes.
But then my question is, what is it that's practical in receiving association from a pure devotee?
What's the working ingredient?
That's right. What's the ingredient?
Krishna's happiness. Krishna's satisfaction.
Okay.
See, because if we look at it, if we look at the original position, then it's all about Krishna and his taste. So he being the complete whole, any taste you'll gain is in context of him. If you try to taste separately, you know the example of the hand trying to enjoy the rasgulla or like that. You'll get something from it. You can feel it's a rasgulla and this and that, but you won't get the taste. You know, it'll be more intellectual. So the whole principle is that Krishna expands his energies for the purpose of interacting based on relationship, based on rasa, you know. So the interaction, you have your position, like we're saying, the Sthayi Bhava and the Rati. So that establishes then the Alambana and the Udipa. Mm-hmm. So then interacting on that platform, then that will produce the taste, the rasa. So for Krishna, it's all about interacting with the devotees. And so, therefore, if you want to taste rasa, for Krishna, it's done with devotees. Mm. So if we can't, therefore, think that we'll taste rasa without devotees. We can't be involved in the devotional process. We can't be involved in that actual understanding of our relationship with Krishna, how we're connected with Krishna on every level, unless we appreciate devotees. Because Krishna is Atmarama. He is everything. And there's a taste in that. But to increase that taste, then he expands his energies and interacts with the devotees. So if we don't see that that's the key, that's the difference between Krishna's Atmarama and Krishna as what is it? Rasa?
Akila Rasamritam.
Yes, Akila Rasamritam. Akila?
Rasamritam Murti
is the devotees. That's the only difference. The pure devotees, of course. But it's the devotees. That's the only difference. So if we want to enter into bhakti ras, the only way is through the pure devotees. Means you can get an understanding, the mechanics of the jnana and kriya shaktis for the purpose of gaining results in fruitive or liberation, those you can endeavor for, as long as you follow the rules as given by Krishna. Because it's his energies, his rules. Yes. Right? You know, what, my house, my rules. So, my cosmos, my rules. Right? You know, so that's the way it goes. So, if you follow those nicely, then you see, you get the results. That's why the smartest thing, because I'm doing this, I'm getting the results. They're not actually understanding. You know, Krishna's a person. He's created this system. Or they're not created this system. The system is him. He's allowing us to take part in it. And then to that degree that you follow it according to his pleasure, whether you know it's about him or not, but at least you're following to try to do it and have the right attitude and the right time. And that's why everything's there. The time for it, the attitude in it, the paraphernalia, who's qualified, unqualified, all these things. You follow that, then Krishna's pleased with that endeavor that you've made in jnana and kriya. And you get results in jnana and kriya. You won't get in Icha.
Right.
Like that. But because you've pleased him that little bit, therefore we call it some kind of happiness. But then we try to enjoy the happiness, and then that's the point, is how is that part of the process? I'm enjoying the taste of bhakti. How is that the part of the process? No, you're engaged in bhakti. You enjoy. Like if you pick the food up, put it in your mouth, chew, swallow. You know, you nourish, you taste. But if you're only trying to taste, then it starts to get a little strange. There were these kings and this nawabs in, I think, of Lucknow. They were famous for, you know, just being total sense enjoyers, like that. Yes? And so, they had a special cuisine that was just their cuisine in Lucknow. You don't find it anywhere else. That all the preparations were made to look like the regular preparations, but you didn't need to chew them. They were so soft. They had a form. You put them in your mouth. All you had to do is move your tongue around in your mouth and enjoy. Right? So you can understand where these guys took their next birth, you know, a little farther west than
in China.
China, but also, you know, you go to the Middle East there, you know, the sheikhs and all that. It's just about enjoying, you know. Like that. So the thing is, they have these preparations. You know, the bread is so fine, it's just so soft, you know, no endeavor. And the preparations, you just put in your mouth and they just melt.
Maybe they had dental problems.
Dental.
Maybe they have.
Oh, that's another thing. At least they're not living on about that one. No, it's just real joy. You know, you just say, yeah, I got my teeth knocked out, I can't chew.
They are from the families of these Middle East countries.
Okay, so they're there.
Once the India got independence, many of them flew back.
They went back? Oh, okay. Okay.
Whatever they can take.
So they're from that side. So. So the so the point is that endeavor for that you can only enjoy as much as Krishna's enjoying. And so as soon as now you start to get too much on the rules or too much into enjoying or too much in liberation, then the taste is gone. So we see is that yes, there is a mechanical thing because Krishna is a person, we're an expansion of him, so we're persons, we have those qualities of Ananda, knowledge, activities, and bliss that come from that. But it won't be very great because we're limiting it to the dead matter that we're interacting with. So the point is the dead matter is not giving us the flavor, it's Krishna's potency, how he expands through it, his potency through it, that we're experiencing that. Right? And so now, if we want to switch from that into devotional service, then we have to appreciate the devotees. Even in karma, you have to respect your elders, all the other people, it's all the relationships. In other words, all the principles of bhakti make karma and beyond work. They can't function without bhakti. But the point is they don't have the devotion. Mm-hmm. But the mechanics of bhakti, all karma and beyond, all the shastra, it's all according to bhakti. There isn't anything else. It's just a matter of the consciousness and pure, so you won't be interested. Now you want to switch over to actual bhakti, actual Krishna as the person. Then it's only through the devotee. So it's the devotee is the key central element. It's only by association of devotees you come in contact and develop faith, and by that it moves forward. So every stage is only by the grace of the devotees. That means you're appreciating the devotees and the association with Krishna, then he reveals each step. So that's the key point. It's the key point is the association with the devotees, nothing else. Like that. That's why we can be so strict. We can be this and that, and it doesn't necessarily work. If you're doing that and respecting the Vaishnavas, then you'll see they'll advance very greatly. Mm. Like you see that, you know, staunch brahmachari, or, you know, that, or, who is it, the staunch bachelor. You know, you always have the staunch bachelors.
Rah-rah.
Yeah, means they live on their own, they have a job, they make money, but they're not married. You know, and they're really strict in their sadhana and everything like this and all like that. So now if they respect Vaishnavas, you'll see that they'll advance very nicely. But if they think that they're better because of this, that their sadhana is better, this, that, they're better than everyone else, you'll see it's very dry. It's a matter of time before something happens and they're
offenses.
Not. Yeah, they're not nicely situated. So the whole point is that the key point is the association of Vaishnavas. Otherwise, the smartas are very nicely following the rules. That's the meaning of smarta. They follow all these rules very, very properly. You know, so externally they would look like they're devotees, but they're not. Because they don't have this aspect of association of devotees. Mm-hmm. So that's the key point that is there. That's why it's always in that. Because this, as Lord Chaitanya said, that one moment, you just catch that mood, that catch that flavor, that appreciation. Just one of those moments, that makes the difference that you cross. Like that. So it is the ingredient that makes everything work. Like that. So, yeah. Is that good?
Yes, thank you.
Rajanath, which persons are considered unfit for rasa? To instruct an unfit person upon Harinam is namaparad. Similarly, to reveal the subtleties of rasa to an undeserving person is a gross aparad. Gurudev, kindly prevent us from doing so, as we are already in a lost condition. And so you want to know who's unfit So you don't actually try to describe it to them, explain it to them. Goswami. So that doesn't mean that you're not talking about that there is rasa. You just don't get into the details of it. Like you see, Prabhupada talks about the five relationships with Krishna and this and that, but he doesn't go into detail. Goswami. The practice of vairagya whilst rejecting Shuddha Bhakti is in truth falgu vairagya, false renunciation. Similarly, the pursuit of jnana whilst rejecting Shuddha Bhakti is shukshka jnana. This has got the two kinds of S's. Dry, empirical, mental speculation. Krishna Bhakti Rasa is the greatest treasure of spiritual life and must be very well protected from unworthy plunders. Just as valuable gems are always carefully guarded from thieves. The Falgu Vairagis, Shobhava Vinansias, Shushka Jnanis, Dry Empiricists, Falgu Nyayis, False Rhetoricians, Karmis, Fruit of Workers, Vishayis, Gross Sensual Materialists, Mayavadis, Impersonalists, and Monists, are opposed to Shuddha Bhakti and are thus amongst the unworthy. So those opposed to Shuddha Bhakti, that's why it says the innocent, they're not opposed. You can explain how much they can appreciate. But if they're opposed to, why wouldn't you explain? So in other words, if you're in this argument with somebody just trying to establish whether they're supreme or not, or this or that, you don't get into these things. And so all these things, all these aspects of karma and jnana, they're going to generate a distraction if it's not centered on pure bhakti. So therefore the knowledge that's there, the renunciation that's there, the speculation that's there, the rhetoricians that are there, then none of those aspects, you know, features of jnana will get you anything, neither than the fruit of worker, than the religionist, the sensualist, the other, it will get you anything. And neither the, you know, mayavadis, impersonalists, monists, any of these. None of these will get you. So anybody who's fixed in those things and is not open to pure bhakti, you don't explain. So in the beginning, you may be talking about trying to establish pure devotional service and things like that. You can do that, you know, the absolute and that kind of aspect. But you don't get into the revealing the aspect of destruction, discussing rasa. So that's why sometimes you see you're having a class, and it comes up in the class because they just want to enjoy. Oh, no, but we want to hear stories. On none of this. Yan, you know, that's all, you know, that's all been rejected. And like that. That's the first thing that there's something wrong there. Because the point is that it's about Krishna. Why wouldn't they have taste? Like that. So even though, yes, of these things that's more analytical and these things that are more stories, then maybe they get more of a taste. But the amount of taste that they're getting, you know, in comparison to material taste, it will be greater. If you have one drop, of bhakti, it's more than the whole ocean of material enjoyment. You know, and know who's getting that. Right? So therefore, then, it is superior, but compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti that the acharyas and the pure devotees are tasting, then it's, because they'll be considering, because I'm tasting that, I'm in a superior position. But how much they're tasting, though? You know, it's just like it's probably some devotees are talking about going to Radhakund. And then they say, okay, well, what will you do there? And they say, oh, we'll preach. And the Prabhupada said, no, it's for tasting. So you see devotees, they go to Radhakund, they'll chant 64 rounds, they'll be really austere, or every day do a, you know, how you say, Parikrama or Govardhan, and all, you know, but that's all sadhana. But because it's very strict sadhana, then we'll take it as that's strict bhakti. But it's not, it's the taste. Raghunathas Goswami is just sitting down there, you know, at Jangama Baitak and just chanting. That's all he's doing. He's not doing something else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that we have to appreciate that these things won't help us. Like that. We are in these positions and we want to connect it to Krishna. We'll be purified. We'll engage it. So therefore, Vairagya whilst accepting Shuddha Bhakti, is actual Vairagya. And then that attachment to Vairagya and that will wane, and it will start to be just the attachment to devotion. And you might find that being situated in a position of Vairagya works for you. It's more comfortable for your conditioned nature. So therefore, yes, you'll continue with that. Or you might find it was false according to, I mean, not false, but unnecessary to that degree for your, for a situation you're more comfortable and balanced at, and so therefore you won't practice it. That doesn't matter. You know, we have all examples of all degrees. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami on one end, and Gadadhar Pandit's guru, Pundarik Vidyanidhi on the other. And so then you see is that whatever situation works for you in your devotion to Krishna, it's fine. It's not a trip, it's not an identity. It's just, this is what works. If I eat 4 chapatis, I'm fine. If I eat 3, I get hungry. If I eat 5, then I get lethargic. So you just eat 4. But for the next guy, you know, the guy over there that's, you know, 7 foot tall and 500 pounds, you know, then he eats, 20 chapatis. And if he eats 19, there's a problem. You know, so it's just a matter of what works. And so being honest and being, that's self-realization, just knowing this works. Does that make sense? Yes.
Sometimes we've noticed that devotees who are frustrated in a worldly relationship, they try to dive into the rasa. Would it be a good adhikara for?
Frustrated means they're giving up the idea that material rasa can give you anything. Then that could be a qualification. But if it's a frustration, and therefore the tendency is actually towards jnana, liberation, and so they're only going into it to somehow know they get some taste and stuff like that, then it won't be as strong a qualification. But if they're in, as the previous point, if they have the association of pure devotees, then they will advance and come to the point where they do actually appreciate. But just that in itself won't. But the point is yes, but then observe yourself, read the Krishna book, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, read Nectar Devotion. There's so many nice little things in there. Read the Bhagavatam. Not that, no, I have to read, you know, Govinda Lila Rita, and then only I have some. You know, because the point is that the taste is spontaneous, right? That's why you see it in the prayers, that it says, just as the young boy is attracted to the young girl and the young girl to the young boy, it's a spontaneous thing. You don't have to say a rule, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't have to. It means you're generally having to instruct the opposite. don't get carried away. So that's the whole point, is that, yes, okay, so you're doing that to get away from the pain you feel in the material world, so using it kind of like liberation. And you may be able to, if the other things, you're respectful of Vaishnavas, you avoid the 10 offenses and these kind of things, it may work for you. But as a process, means, because as the general process that you're absorbed in Krishna, it's not that, yes, because I'm reading Govinda Lila Rita, that's why. No. Point is this: Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, whatever they are, that's what's working. So if you're doing that so your mood, Krishna's happy, it'll work. And if not, then you'll find this dry also, and then who knows where you get it. You know? Because the thing is, if someone's frustrated, see, that's the difficulty with the Malecha style of self-realization, the Vedic is that you have, you're functioning in goodness, doing the duties that you're supposed to do, whether you're inspired by them or not, but this is your nature, this is what you should do, the opportunity is there, so you do it. So because of that detachment, then it's a constant aspect. So then when that's brought into devotional service, then that detachment means I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So doing it for Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then it works out very nicely. you naturally advance. Right? Because there is no other motive. Right? So you're going from sattva to shuddha sattva. But now in the malecha, or the how you say, the Vidharma mark, that there, one's trying to enjoy the senses, and then one gets frustrated because you can't, especially if you're using methods that aren't actually recommended. And so there's this moment of frustration. So then Narada Muni describes that moment in the seventh canto, in this discussion with Yudhishthira Maharaj, that that's the moment, that's your window, that you can catch this you know, somebody conditioned on the Malecha platform to take up devotional service. That's the moment. And so you see many times this, we can catch that moment for Krishna. If not, you'll see the, you know, the yoga studios, the other new agey guys, the self-help gurus, they'll all catch the moment. Like that. So there's a window, it's there, but the problem is then, as described then also by Krishna and in Prabhupada in the Gita, that someone comes for artha atarthi jigyasu, but then at some point when by devotional service that anxiety is less, if they don't move forward to the jnani, they may leave. You know, they've got the knowledge they want, and you know, it seems to have its limits, and so then you know, I can't speculate as much. And, that, or I have my wealth, so now I'm okay, now I can do it on my own, or the anxieties are gone, so I don't see the material world so bad, so I'll catch something else. So there's that weakness that may come up due to not grasping at that. So it may be that they go into this if it's only the aspect of simply removing the material anxiety by associating with Krishna in his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, it will reduce. But then the problem comes is, unless one has moved forward in devotional service by the association of the Vaishnavas, one may look again to mundane. You know what I'm saying? So you're going into the Rasa Tattva, and you know, you've had a really bad time between, you know, male, female kind of social scene. But now you've seen kind of how it works nicely and this and that, and it can work and that, so then you don't mind going out and trying again. You know, it happens. So that's the whole point, is that so what you have to get to is no faith in the material enjoyment, not no faith in whatever I've done now to enjoy. So that hasn't worked, so let's try something else. That's your window, but it's not stable. Does that sound sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you just have to see, it's going to be very individual, because there's elements in there that are going to work. You know? And so, therefore, you know, it's just like you have that I think it's the pastime, I think it's Koresh. But there's some festival where Rangaji is out on the festival there on Palakun and all that. Yeah, you know the story?
No, it's not Koresh.
That's not Koresh.
Something is
Dhanadar is the wrestler?
No.
Yeah, okay, it's Dhanadar. Yeah.
Dhanur Das.
Yeah, so the point is he's just absorbed in beauty where it is. So therefore he's saying, well, if I show you something more beautiful, yeah, no problem, I'll worship that. So he shows him the Rangaji, and because he has that kind of faith, he's dealing properly and all that, but he gets the blessings of Ramanujacharya, the blessings of Rangaji. So he's able to appreciate Ranganath's beauty more than, you know, the beauty of this world. Right? So that's the whole point, is it can work if the mentality is right. But to think of it as a sadhana or the mechanics, no. It's simply Krishna's mercy, and that's happening because it's connected to Krishna through the devotees. Does that make sense? So it can work for an individual, and it can not work for an individual. So that's why the recommended practices are the ones that work for everybody. and that. And you may have some exceptions and all of that, but the point is that it doesn't work. You know, it's just like you see, remember, this one senior devotee, he'd be sitting in class, and he pays full attention, but somehow or another, he's so attentive that, and physically he's so tired, physically you see the body starts to go to sleep. And then someone else is giving a class, because at that time they were a brahmachari, and so the Swami is giving class and that, tried to call him up on it. You know, so what do you do when the guy's falling asleep? Then you ask him, okay, what did I say? And then, you know, says that, and as he comes up like this, he says exactly what they said. So yeah, with him, you don't mess with them. But anybody else falling asleep doing that, you know they're falling asleep. So that's the thing, is that, in other words, what's recommended, that will work for everybody. You know, but outside of that, it's going to be, it might work for an individual, but you can't take it as the method. You see the principle. It's that you're absorbing yourself in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. That's the recommendation. That you're doing it through this study of this book or that book. That's another thing. It may work for you, but if you at any point become proud, it won't work for you. Is that okay? Yeah. Vrajana, Gurudev, we are so fortunate to hear these wonderful instructions from you. We will try to follow them sincerely. Vijaya. Well, that's Vrajana. Oh, I didn't notice it. There's, all along there's been two of them there?
Yeah.
Rajanath.
He doesn't ask much questions.
Rajanath.
But not in this part. It's only
Rajanath.
No, both of them are there.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is when they're still in Mayapur.
No, this is
already gone.
Puri. But they are still together.
Oh, okay.
And then from 31st chapter onwards, then only Vijay Kumar, no Vajnath.
Okay, so Rajanath, say then Vijay, because I was saying, oh, because it's the next page after, but the way that's a different name. Vijay, Gurudev, I maintain my family by reciting and lecturing on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually a treatise on rasa. Is it therefore an aparad to earn money by reading Srimad Bhagavatam to the ordinary public? Goswami, indeed. Okay, case closed. The Bhagavatam is an excellent text and the crown jewel of all scriptures, being the mature nectarian fruit of the entire Vedic literature. Simply abide by its espousals, especially this particular verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13. O devotees, who are thoughtful experts on the science of rasa, O devotees who are the relishers of rasa, kindly continue, even after liberation, to savor the sublime and nectarian fruit of the Vedas known as the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see here, there's that point that relates to what you're saying here, is that they're tasting rasa to get to liberation, because they're tasting rasa to get free from the pains of the material world. But even having gotten to the point where they're freed from that, they have to continue. Otherwise, then they'll go back to the material world. So even if it is having effect, because if their anxiety about the material situation, relationships has reduced, that means it's working. But unless they continue on beyond liberation, then they'll go back to the material. You know, it's just like you're really tired at the end of the day, don't want to work, don't want to do nothing. But then after a nice rest and all that, then you're ready again to work. So you want to avoid that. So even after liberation, to savor the sublime and nectarian fruit of the Vedas known as the Srimad Bhagavatam. According to this edict, only the eligible candidates for rasa tattva are the devotees who are bhavuka, thoughtful and expert, and the rasika, relishers of rasa. So the thoughtful and expert is that they're able to think about it, and so it's not that, oh yes, it's only about rasa, all this other stuff is useless, or, you know, when we only tattva, we don't get into that, that's for sahajas and that, so you want to avoid that. That they won't. Those who are relishing rasa, they're just going to sit on the side quietly and hear. If somebody's talking, they're listening. If not, they'll go off and chant. And,
Right? Mm-hmm. Here, Bhavuka is translated as thoughtful and expert. Rather, generally, Bhava means people think it's just tasting something. Rasika is religious of taste, and Bhavuka are the triad, thoughtful and expert.
Yes, because the thing is you're going to take the person on that aspect of Bhava, that's expert. Mm-hmm. Like that, so then rasa, the prema, is going to be the master.
Yes.
So they're expert. They're like that. They get the ecstasies are there. They know the knowledge. They're able to use the knowledge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's interesting. Like that. So because there's a difference between those who are already tasting rasa and those who are appreciating the thoughtful and expert. They're able to apply it in their life. They're able to appreciate the position. They can understand where others are, how they're doing, like this. And so then so you're going to see all those good qualities that we talk about in this Bhavuka. You know, it'll be prominent. In the Rasika, it'll also be there, but it's just more natural. They won't necessarily stand out. Like that. But the others, it'll be more prominent. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
Yeah. No other person is permitted access. Okay, that limits it quite. Therefore, my son, immediately abandon this method of earning your living. You are a thirsty searcher for rasa. Do not commit further aparad against rasa tattva. The Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7, declare raso vaisaha. Rasa is personified in Krishna. The scriptures offer several options for earning one's living. Follow their bona fide advice, but stop lecturing and reading the Bhagavatam for monetary gain. If you find a Rasika audience, certainly read the Bhagavad Purana to them with great jubilation, but without expectation of taking a fee, a donation, etc. Vijaya, Gurudev, you have saved me from the clutches of a terrible aparad. But how shall I counter the aparad I have already committed? Goswami, that aparad will not remain. Entreat rasa tattva guilelessly, and surely you will be exonerated from your aparad. Do not worry about it any longer. So the aspect is that if we look at the aspect of a jealous god, but what are we dealing with? Jealous, where is this jealousy applied? Right? Jealousy implies personal. So that means he's a person. So you have to see the religious content in the context of him as a person. That's where it is. But if you're saying not, it's just religious, it's just fruitive, it's just piety, then it's not up to the standard. Therefore, then, if you deal with Krishna and the devotees and the process of bhakti and the knowledge of bhakti, then properly, then they're not going to, they don't have a need to punish like that. That's the whole thing. So the punishment is there simply because someone's not interested. You know, they're just completely not, there's nothing there to work with. You know, like how to say Sodom and Gomorrah would be your natural example. Right? There's just nothing to work with, so therefore. But otherwise, you see those who are doing, then there's something to work with. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of what's there.
All right. On that particular case, in the situation of making a living out of education.
Yes.
So, for example, you see the Bhakti Shastri course, the Bhakti Veva, the fees are very, very low, which means it's really to cover expenses,
yeah.
Admin and stuff like that. And then you have devotees who give courses, one more specific, and then they really charge to the roof.
Yeah.
And I wonder how Krishna conscious this is.
You have to see with time. How is it going? Means how they were, let's say, when they started and how they are now.
You mean the students?
No. Well, one, you see the students, but I'm saying the person themselves. Do they have that same position and that, or do we see that there's... You know, the identity, the ego, these things come up, and, you know, the material need is there. Just like, let's say there's a phenomenon that you see, that you may have seen it, you know, over the last so many years, that it's now and again in India, somebody comes up as a very, very good, let's say, Ayurvedic doctor, or especially astrologers, you know, palmists, things like that, these kind of new agey aspects that might catch the attention of the, you know, it's like no one's going for, you know, okay, who's the best smarta in India? You know, I really never come across that. One or two might have gotten into that. But so then, and they're good, they're reputed in all India that they're the best. And then, you know, they start to, you know, get into that. They start to charge higher fees and this and that and all that. Then after 20 years, you never hear them. They're still there, still have the same knowledge. Their experience is, you know, much greater. You don't hear them anywhere. No one cares anymore. Because just from that chart, that goes down. So one has to be very, very careful. So it's you perform your duties, and then that. If it's a matter of, if it's found that, oh, if I don't charge like this, no one takes it serious. It's like if I say, okay, I'm coming to the temple, I'm going to give this class, you know, this 5-day seminar, and everybody can, you know, it's open for everybody. You know, 20 people come, like that. Or, you know, there's some, you know, we're giving out some, you have some material and all that, and so we're going to charge for the material and all that. You might find a few more come. But if we say, oh, it's like this, and it's cost this much money, if you find more people come, because of that, then you can see what's there. Then you just have to make sure that you properly use that money, you know, for preaching and things like that. You know, it's something you'll use for maintaining yourself and main thing you'll use for preaching. So if it's just like one businessman was telling me that it means when he would show up for the, you know, for the meetings, you know, for contract meetings and stuff like that, wherever it was, you know, that. If he didn't show up in like a Mercedes, you know, top end Mercedes Benz or something like that, they didn't take him seriously. He couldn't. It's in Bombay. He can't roll up in his wagon R, you know, Suzuki, even though that is much more practical for Bombay. It's thin enough, you can get through traffic. You can find, you can get a parking place. You know, no one's going to bother it like that. So it's way more practical for the streets, but it's zero practicality when it comes to showing up there at the, you know, that what is that? What's that one big down at the end of Marine Drive? Is that the Taj?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have that, and that's the Taj. It's always in all the movies. It might have been even in the
India Gate.
Yeah.
It's like Gateway of India.
Yeah, but it's right down there. So it's always the one that's... And so if you show up there, you have to show up in something fancy. You know, you and our man in the Mission Impossible, he showed up at that hotel in something fancy. They take him seriously. He didn't show up in an ambassador or, you know.
Maruti.
Yeah, Maruti or something. Yeah. Yeah. So then they take you seriously. Right? So that's the whole point, is that it sounds stupid, it sounds superficial, but that's what you're dealing with. Like I was asking the temple president, you know, why do we have to have, he's saying, oh, so what are you going to talk on? He says, why do we have to talk on something? Why can't we just have, you're having a morning class, evening class, wherever you are in Bhagavatam, this, that, we'll do that. He says, no, he says, nobody shows up. If it's this guy's coming and giving Bhagavatam class, nobody comes. He says, this guy's coming and doing a seminar, they all come. So if it's that, if they found that that's just by modern marketing, that's the only thing that works. Then they just do that and just see that they're very careful on using the money. They only minimally use what they need, and the rest is used for, you know, properly in Krishna consciousness, you know. Then it'll be okay. But otherwise, then they'll lose their potency. That power of speech or that purity of these things will just go. They'll just wane. But because it is in contact with Krishna, they are making advancement. But at the same time, you know, it's like rowing the boat. You are rowing, but at the same time, the anchor's down. You know, so smaller the anchor, a little bit more you move. Yes.
One of the things I experienced is there were many speakers like always worried who are the audience and then how much money and who are the elite class. After some time, the whole seminar is all about some tidbits which will impress people.
Yeah.
There is no substance in it.
Yeah.
Because they're too much, then.
Yeah. So these, they may be able to hold the crowd, but what they're saying is, because it's about holding the crowd. I guess it's not about the quality of it. That is, So one has to be very, very careful. Because if we use the modern context of volume, we have to, Sahotra Maharaj once was discussing, pointing this out, that previously it wasn't about volume. Volume could be mentioned if it was there, but it wasn't about volume. Like, you know, it's like the discussion between Maitreya Muni and Vidura, you know, there's not a whole lot of volume there. You know, there's two people like that. So at the same time, sages of Naimishrami, there's more, or when Sukadeva Goswami speaks, and they come from all over the universe. It's just, that happened, therefore you mention it, then, you know, it's impressive. But it's not that he's doing it for that. You know, it's not Sukadeva walking by and they ask him to speak, and, well, how many people are here? And not enough, and he keeps asking him like that. You know. God, you know. When Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma show up, then also, you know, God, so that then is a problem. So it's a matter of, to speak that, you have to get, so you see is that your Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's that you know, famous picture where they have a rug down, you know, one of those long thin ones to walk on, and he's walking next to it, you know, in his coat, his patent leather shoes, and, you know, and he's got the other devotees there, and then suited and booted, and the other ones there, they're in that kind of, like, they look like, you know, with a black turban, and also this kind of, like, chuggery kind of thingies. So they look a little bit like halfway between a professor of the university with a turban on, you know, you know, like that. And so they're all there, and they're walking along to these great guys, because if you show them, then they're willing to come. Like that. You know, so that's the thing, is if that's what it'll take to get them, then you do that. But it's not that the quality of it is better because of that. It's not that, oh yes, because I charge this and I talk to these people, it's a better quality or better content or a more advanced or better preaching than someone who's sitting down and talking to, you know, the new bhaktas. You know? So that aspect of it has to be very, yes, it has to be very careful, is that we see that they don't, otherwise then they'll lose the power, they get distracted. And then it's about volume. So they're not getting the volume in the temple anymore because they don't have the realization, so they're only speaking the same topics. They're not giving anything new. It's the same tricks, the same this. It's based on that and their presentation. So therefore, then now they need to go out to the yoga studios and the karmis and do something with professionals. Because then it's new, you know. And they liked it. They might invite you back, do one or two. So if you go and do one or two things at this, that's big. Put that on your resume, big. But otherwise, you do one, and then they don't want you anymore. Another place catches, and, you know, the glory of the internet is that so many people can, you know, find you and not know how badly it went the time before, you know. So, yeah.
In the Aishnas, there used to be a joke that after 3-4 years, every new brahmachari would figure out what every speaker can say. Then we would say, now you have become an inmate. Because now you know everybody.
Okay, now you're a bona fide brahmachari, the ashram, you know what everyone's going to say. Now he's going to tell that. Yeah.
Because after you 3-4 times, you can figure out.
Because they're using modern methods. Yes. And so modern, that's the problem with modern, it's temporary. It's always, it changes. So therefore, unless they're keeping up with it, and who's keeping up with it? If they're talking political correctness, they're already, you know, basically 25 years behind the curve. So, you know, definitely you're going to know everything they're going to say. So that's the whole thing, is that it's a matter of the natural spontaneity there, is that variety is in the scripture itself. You know, because you see at different points they're emphasizing different aspects and this and that. That gives the variety. That gives the variety. So, yeah. Vijaya. Gurudev, I now feel that I should rather maintain this body by some low profession than reveal the intricacies of rasa tattva to an undeserving person and wrongfully earn my living. Goswami, dear sons, you are blessed. Krishna has accepted you as his devotees. Otherwise, how could you have developed so much determination in the culture of bhakti? You are residents of Navadvip Dham, and Sri Gauranga has mercifully inspired you from within by his potency.
Thank you. Whether you have the next book. Whether you have the next
book. Yeah, I have the next book. You have the next book? Okay. So now this is part 11, chapters 35 to 40. So I think there's 48 chapters.
I think so much.
Okay, so then here, 35, neutral love of Godhead. 36, transcendental affection, servitor. 37, impetus for Krishna service. 38, indifference and separation. 39, ways of meeting Krishna. 40, reverential devotion of sons and other subordinates. Okay. And then an excerpt from Jayavijama, chapter 29. Okay, so it means what's left is also then the friendship, parental, and conjugal within this must be now going to the Western Ocean. First wave of the Western section entitled Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Okay, this is the first wave, Shanta Bhakti. So that means that that's including the neutral. Okay. 3.1.1. May the Supreme Lord, with eternal form, endowed with attractive beauty and abundant prema, which he gives to the devotees, be pleased with me. May Sanatan Goswami, who bears the burden of the fool Rupa, and who had great attachment to the Bhagavatam, be pleased with me. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a play on words, as was done with previous introductory closing verses as well. The words have double meaning. Bhara means extreme in reference to Krishna's attractive mukta, beauty, rupa. In reference to Rupa Goswami, it means enduring with suffering the association of Rupa Goswami. Yeah, so then the burden has a double meaning in that it has the attachment to the Bhagavatam, that extreme. Because when you say something's heavy, like, you know, something's really strong, you go, whoa, heavy, like that, you know, or here, then the other is enduring the suffering. So the poetics of words that can have all these different meanings. 3.1.2. In the third section of this book, called The Western Division of the Ocean of Sweet Rasa, the five types of primary bhakti rasa, starting with shanta, are described. In this Western section, the five waves are named according to the five types of rasa. Thus, following succession, the chapters of waves are designated as the five rasas, starting with shanta. So we see here is the waves are the areas that are being discussed. You're going to have the overall, then you're going to have the particular topic, and then you're going to have the breakdown of the topic. So Rupa Goswami's book, he gives the overall and then the general topic. But then Srila Prabhupada, he adds the chapters to break it down into the sections. So it's a very standard Vedic kind of method. Like you'll see the cantos and chapters like that. But you won't see as much there as if you're in an analytical study, let's say Arthashastra. Then what they have is they have the seven books that are there. So that'll be the overall, like here it has the four oceans. Then it will have the various topics that are there. And within that, it will have the chapters. So one chapter, one topic may cover, you know, so many chapters. And then we're going to the next. So it has these three levels. You also see this Mahabharata. It has the overall, what are they called? 18?
Parvas,
yes. There's the 18 big parvas. Then there's 100 smaller parvas. So in other words, one bigger parva will be in major sections. You're just like in the first one, you'll have the whole thing on, all these preliminaries to about the snake sacrifice and all these things and how it came to be spoken. And you have Shantanu and all that, Bhishma and all that. Then you have the Pandavas. Then you're going to have them. Living in the forest there. Then you're going to have come to Hastinapur. Then you're going to have the House of Lack. Then you're going to have Ekachakra. Then you're going to have the Swayamvar. Then you're going to have the coming back. So these are, you could say, the sub-parvas within a major, you know, adi-parva or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Then within each of those sub-parvas, there's chapters. Sometimes the chapter is half a page. Sometimes it'll be 2-3 pages. So in other words, it's a complete little thing in itself, but it's part of the parva. And then the parva is a complete kind of pastime itself that's part of the bigger. Like Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have the Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and that. Then you have within that the chapters. Mm-hmm. But if you see within that, there'll be discussions with Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, this, that. So you can actually break that into sections. So this three sections is very natural in the Vedic literature, very standard. Yes?
Out of curiosity, Maharaj, would you know who created all the different chapters in the Bhagavatam and gave them titles and decided how many verses should fit into those chapters?
Did I know that would be Vyasadeva himself?
Well, those titles are written by Vyasadeva.
Yeah, it means at least the Sanskrit titles.
I'm not talking about the cantos, I'm talking about each chapter. Right?
I would say it was there in the Sanskrit, and I would say it's him. Because he's heard, and he's heard from Narad Muni, he's realized, you know, in that Vyasa's meditation, that his samadhi, that you could say is the basis of all the presentation of philosophy. That's the angle by which it will be approached, because it's about pure devotion. The mechanics of it, that's going to be according to the Chatur Shloki, right? How that will be presented. Then you're going to, so that's going to be what's going on throughout. Then you're going to have, then, you know, the whole way it's presented, that he first spoke this, then that came down, then that was discussed by, he, you know, it was discussed with Sukadeva. Sukadeva discussed it in Naimisharanya. I mean, at the Parikit Maharaj. Then there was Sutta Goswami. Sutta then goes to Naimisharanya and discusses it with the sages. That discussion that Sutta had, that's the one that then Vyasadeva documents and then gives all the different things in the chapters and all that.
I thought the BBT had done that.
No.
How long said it was the BBT?
No.
Sometimes I think, why is such a title for this chapter?
No, that's why you see these chapters, you have to a lot of times, because we'll take it as one thing, but actually there's something else. Like, why that story is told, this purpose. Yes. We'll say, oh, but this should be about this person. Yes. But it's actually, that's just a story, you know, in a story telling about one thing. Because, like you see, is that was what we were trying to accomplish in our study, is that, you know, the instructions of Maitreya Vidura, it'll be so many chapters. So the conversations that we have, you know, like that. And so then, and very nicely then we see Burijan Prabhu, then put it, he called dialogues, because then it's more clear. Mm-hmm. Like Manu, the 12 chapters, those are 12 dialogues, you know, in Manu Samhita. So dialogue works very nicely. No one understood so much, because I was talking about it's the questions that are going on and that discussion there. So then Burijan was, you know, then when he got into the serious study to make the course material, then he says, okay, it's a dialogue. And so in the dialogue, that'll cover so many chapters. So in that, you're trying to accomplish something. Then within that, then you're going to have the different chapters that are complete in themselves, but they're part of the progression through that dialogue. So that's why he sees at the very end, one of the last things we added in, was something that shows you where you are in the dialogue and what's happening there.
Yeah.
Because the pratigya, you caught the chapter, but you didn't necessarily see how that connected with the lap. The what do you call it? The sangati wasn't as strong. So that's what we were trying to get in the beginning by all the pratigya and the chapter summary, and then there was one other thing we used to have in there. And so there were three things that we found that we started putting together and like that. So then we added that in at the end. So now that has to be put for the whole thing, so it goes through, and then the questions would be according to that. So then you're seeing the questions in the context of the dialogue. Does that make sense? Because we tried putting the questions and answers, but you don't see the questions connected to the dialogue. So the questions are what's going on, but there's the dialogue is what's giving the framework for those questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that okay? So that's why you see is that the Prabhupada's nectar of devotion, because some would say, oh, it's different, I mean, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it's not. All he's done is, for our understanding, made that third division. That's all. So and you see is that putting together, they just go very naturally together. There's no problem at all between them. And everything is being covered. Yeah. So that's why it'll be the first wave of the Western section, you know, so there won't be all these chapters in it, but Prabhupada's put the chapters so we can at least start to grasp what's going on. So we see is when the presentation is a little bit more analytical, it has more sections, has these three. So Prabhupada's done that. So we can see is that it's from tradition, it's from that very, how you say, Vedic, you know, analytical presentation. Yes.
It seems that, like, for a newcomer, if this chapter wise, it's more easier to catch.
Yes.
Because unless you know the basics, you cannot see the sangati between different things and how it's flowing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, then one needs some training, some maturity to actually appreciate sangati. Otherwise, they're just different points that are there. They make sense. You have faith in them. You apply yourself to them. But with time, you start to see it overall how it works.
And also, if like we don't have previous idea on the topic, if everything is presented together, then it becomes more confusing.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can focus. If it's a chapter, you can focus one where you didn't understand, learn more. And then
yes. That's why you have the analyzation of something, and you have the study from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. You know, the seriatim, and what's the other one?
Thematic.
Yes, thematic, but it has some fancy name. Because I was using chronological study of the Bhagavatam, and those that have an academic degree, you know, and identify with it. In other words, if they got the degree after they became a devotee, they take total exception to that. You can't call it that because in the academy they would never use those terms because chronology means the time and all this and that, and it's not time. But the point is the conversation is going, they're having the conversation, it's one thing after another. But, you know, that's what, hence on the previous page you mentioned about it. So that's the point. So therefore, if you want to use their term, seriatim, now they can't complain. They don't know what the word is, never heard of the word, but that's the word. You know, now they can feel like an idiot instead of making others feel like idiots. Yes, no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hmm?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So I just mentioned that so people don't complain, oh, why is the Prabhupada did it like that? He's just following the footsteps of great writers in the past who to bring out that, give those kind of aspects. You know, it's just like you see Vedanta Sutra has four different parts. In that it has four, each part has four parts, but within that, then you have the Adikarnas. So you're always going to have that. Like that. I'm not sure how the Sandarbhas are. They have the six Sandarbhas and that, so they have theirs and then they have their sections. Maybe they're just done by these Anuchedas.
Anuchedas, but then when he writes Bhagavad, there he mentions from here next section starts, like that most of the places he gives clues.
Yeah, so there's so many clues. Just like in the Gita, it's like you have the chapter that's there and the things, but now Prabhupada will say, now Krishna's explained this, now he's going to explain this. You know, he's done Shankya, now he's going to explain it. So that's what we're talking about, is that these are the overall, and then within that you have the... So, yeah. Okay. Thus, following in succession, the chapters or waves are designated as the five rasas starting with Shanta. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami offers his respectful prayers to the Eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always so beautiful, for whom the pure devotees are always engaged in loving transcendental service. This third division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the five primary kinds of devotional service, namely neutrality, servitude, fraternity, parenthood, and conjugal love. These five items will be very elaborately explained here, unless they have been figuratively described as first five waves on the western side of this ocean of the nectar of devotion.
Right.
Hmm.
like these two verses are the Mangalacharan, and generally in the first verse itself, all the three aspects of Namaskritya means offering prayers to Lord, offering prayers to the spiritual master, and seeking blessings or giving blessing. All three in one verse he explains that.
Yes, yes. So you see, the acharyas always use the structure. So they all know that the acharya, they can do whatever they want. That's kind of like saying acharya means who teaches by example. So it's kind of like, you know, that's like saying, yeah, he's a solid one in the team. He's so whimsical. It's kind of like, so that's the difficulty. Srila Jiva Goswami, because of the practice of identifying the rasa with what possesses the rasa, the chapters are designated as rasa. So here he's talking about chapters meaning the waves. And then Prabhupada said breaking those down in the chapters of the nectar and the ocean. Does that make sense? Yeah. 314. If the Sai Baba called Shanta Rasa mixes with the elements of Vibhava and others, which will now be described, and is relished by persons possessing Sama, the wise call this Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Okay, so again, we hear it's that Shanta, the Rati, mixes with Vibhava and other things. So the Rati is your attraction. But until there's something to create that attraction, you know, Krishna does something, the devotees do something, the situation is there, then you don't get, and then the others, then that's where you get rasa. So that'll be, again, the difference. So here is that, because it may be those elements are the same common elements with other rasas, but here it says, the relish by persons possessing shama. So because they have that shama, that equipoise, that's why it comes out as shanta bhakti rasa. Otherwise, the same quality could be experienced by Mother Jashoda, and it won't produce that shanta bhakti rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. Stai, what is permanent here, is a synonym for Stai Baba, just as Bhima means Bhima Sena. Like somebody says, Stai means Stai Baba. In these discussions, so one doesn't have to worry. You know, Bhima, so is that Bhima saying? Or in North India, Bhim. So
Bhim.
Therefore, the Stai Bhava is that which does not give up its form. When the particular Stai Bhava called Shantarati becomes pleasurable, Swadhyayatam Gata, or takes on a pleasurable form, for those who are Shama, Shaminam, after mixing with the Vibhavas, etc., which will be described, it is called Shanta Bhakti Rasa by the wise. Those three types of Shuddha Bhakti, Samanya, Svacha, and Shanti, have already been described. Footnote 1. These are described in 2, 5, 8 through 18. The first Rati, called Shuddha Rati, has three types. Samanya, Svacha, and Shanta. It produces quivering the body and closing and opening the eyes. The Rati manifested in ordinary people and children for Krishna is called Samanya Rati, ordinary. So just general public, they're in contact with Krishna by hearing his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and they get some effect. So that's Samanya. It does not have the distinguishing qualities of even Svacha or Shanta. When Rati manifests in many varieties because the practitioner associates with various types of devotees and performs various practices, it is called Svacha Rati, transparent, because then you actually clearly see. The other one, it's a flavor comes in, but actually if you look, their rasa is that of doing their relations and their family and this and that. The Rati which arises in persons with a predominance of Shama, Atma Jnana, which is devoid of even a trace of possessiveness for the Lord, but which produces attraction for Krishna in the form of Paramatma, is called Shanta Rati. Therefore this aspect will be there, and you'll see it in these three flavors. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only Shantarati gives rise to rasa. That is because in Samanya Shuddha Rati, the components of rasa cannot be nourished since Samanya Shuddha Rati is undeveloped or weak. In Svacha Shuddha Rati, the components of rasa such as Vibhava and Anubhava cannot be nourished since Svacha Shuddha Rati is unsustainable in nature. So because they only appreciate, because there's no possession. So they're going to say it's the shanta aspect, that's what's actually going to produce it. Does that make sense? And the other ones, because of the possession, therefore, then that produces. But for them, it's just Krishna's wonderful, and that's all. That's the position that it's at. It doesn't develop beyond that. So it doesn't, it's just that's wonderful, and then there's another aspect of wonderfulness in that. So in that way, it nourishes. But it's not, you have that dynamic elements going on. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I'm just not clear what's the difference between Svachaya and Shanta.
So Shanta is specifically for Shanta Rasa. And then the Svacha is the other four. And Samanya is just general people who don't have Rati.
Yeah, Samanya is understood.
Yeah, but Shanta, yes? You have something more?
I think the Svacha Shudharati is not equated with the higher four, but before one obtains a steady position, they may exhibit like relation with other four. Because otherwise, if it is said.
But that's here, when this is explained here, but there's been other places where it's been more clear.
Okay.
That it meant it was that. So it may be it has that whole range.
Yes.
From someone who is there is more of a clarity of what is the rasa through to someone who actually situated the rasa. So it could go extend from nishtha through to prema. While then the samanya just means that there's no kind of clear aspect of bhakta. And then shanta, then that they appreciate the position. Yes? Okay. Yeah, because I remember that this was here, it wasn't quite exactly as clear. But then in the later discussions it was much more.
Because Maharaj, even in Preeti Sandarbha description, first it is described like stage of Rati is established when one reaches to the stage of Shantabhava. And then from there, then the higher rasas are described like based on that. So if we say as a developing stage, then the Svacha Shuddharati will be like maybe the stage of Ruti or Asipri are still like.
Yes, so from what I can see, it has a wider range, mm-hmm. but there's a clarity of rasa.
Yeah.
Like that. It means that you may not be very developed in it, but there's a clarity. Does that make sense? Samanya will just be a general appreciation of Krishna and anything about Krishna. Mm-hmm. And then the shanta means that it specifically has that element, it has that aspect of jnana, so that they're situated there and that it's not developing. In other words, it won't develop past shanta. Well, I guess what he means here is that in the svacha in shanta is not sustainable because it won't. It has to transfer into and Shanti. Shanti Shudharati or something. You know what I'm saying? Because that's stable. But in the other one, it's a progression. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's generic, not connected, not specifically focused on Krishna. It's generic, totally focused on Krishna. And then it has specific, and it can be developing or developing perfected or prema. So
yeah,
maybe more sense.
Yeah.
315. Generally, these practitioners possess the happiness of impersonal Brahman, realizing it as the cause of everything. However, such impersonal happiness is dilute. Whereas the happiness related to the Lord with form and qualities is intense. So this aspect of the happiness of understanding Brahman, so it's not seen in connection with Krishna, or it's connected with Krishna but there's no devotion, then it's going to be diluted. Though it's going to be, diluted here, yeah. It's going to be greater than anything tasted in karma, but it won't be as high as what's tasted in bhakti. So that's why sometimes you see the discussion of the Shanta Bhaktas And the jnanis is sometimes together and sometimes it's separate. Because the platform of their realization and field of action is the same. But the depth of it, the intensity of it, for the devotee, the Shantibhakta, is much greater than the jnani. Because the jnani is in touch with Brahman, so he can appreciate the grandness of Krishna and all that. He just hasn't, while the Shantibhakta, it's coming from the personal. Does that make sense? So the others that may be there, so the jnanis, the yogis, then they may have an appreciation of the Lord in those features, but it's the Shantibhakta that has the same thing. But the field that they're using is the same.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. When one is actually able to maintain the transcendental position, his stage is called neutrality in devotional service. Some sages have attained this neutral position by practicing austerity, penance, and meditation to control the senses. Right, so that's why there is a glory to the austerity and all these things we've talked before about this top brahmachari and stuff like that. There is a glory to it. It will bring you to the, can bring you to the, if it's done without attachment, can bring you to the spiritual platform. But the point is unless it's done in devotion, you can't maintain it. It won't bring you to the transcendental platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Such sages are generally called mystic yogis. And in most cases, they are inclined to appreciate the spiritual pleasure of the impersonal feature of the absolute truth. They are practically unaware of the transcendental pleasure derived from personal contact with the Supreme Godhead. So they're dealing in the field, but they don't see it back to the person. You know, it's just like, let us say, someone's put on some nice perfume, right? And so then, someone might just appreciate, oh, nice smell, like that. But there's no, it's just about the smell. Oh, nice, you know. But someone else, they'll attribute that smell to a person. The smell, they remember a person. Or the other, the smell is just, oh, that's a nice smell, yeah, I like that, you know, a little more sweet, or no, it's more stringent, or this, you know, they analyze like that. And the smell itself is enough, but the point is that so therefore it's diluted because it's only that aspect. While for the devotee, the Shantibhakta, then it's about Krishna. It's an aspect of Krishna. So the intensity is much, much greater. But that they'll be, let's say, appreciating that smell, that'll be the common point. You know, so the personalist, the jnanis may take it up to that point of Brahman or take it up to part of the Paramatma. But that still is localized. It's not specific. It's not personal as such. You know, it's a person, but it's not personal as such. It's about, you know, just a position. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Actually, the transcendental pleasure derived in association with the Supreme Person is far greater than the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization because of the direct meeting with the eternal form of the Lord. Impersonals do not directly derive the transcendental pleasure of association with the Lord by hearing of his pastimes. As such, the impersonals cannot derive any relishable transcendental pleasure from the topics of Bhagavad Gita, in which the Lord is personally talking with Arjuna. Right, so, they do not directly derive because they don't take the personal. So they may indirectly, means through the Brahman platform, they get some pleasure. So they can't fully appreciate what's going on in the conversation because Krishna, the person, is talking to Arjuna, the person. And since they're impersonalists, they can't actually appreciate that aspect of the conversation. So they just take the knowledge itself and how it relates in the position of attaining the spiritual platform or maintaining the spiritual platform. Or relishing the spiritual platform. So that's the difficulties. They don't go beyond. They can't, because that's just they cannot do any relishable transcendental pleasure. They may get some spiritual pleasure from it, but not transcendental. The basic principle of their impersonal attitude does not allow them the transcendental pleasure, which is relished by a devotee, whose basic principle of understanding is the Supreme Person. So their basic understanding is the person. Then you have Brahman and Paramatma. While for the impersonalist, their basic understanding is Brahman. and they have very minimal or no understanding of Paramatma and Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So the basic is where is your fundament? So for us, the fundament is Bhagavan.
Where do the Brahma bodies fit into this?
They're in Brahma.
But with knowledge that there is Brahman and Paramatma.
Yeah, but it's all Brahman, so it's just a feature of Brahman. So there's the supreme ultimate like this, and then there's the there. This is, these are features, so they don't have a problem. There's a variety in Brahman because it's all Brahman. That's why, because those are Brahma bodies, right? But the others are called Maya bodies, because for them, if there's any variety, it's all illusion. So Maya bodies focus on illusion, not on Brahman.
Right.
Brahma bodies focus on Brahman.
There is one purport in 4th canto, somewhere 21st chapter, where Prabhupada says, like, you know, gradation of how a person progresses. Mm-hmm. First, he may have the basic idea that name is the spiritual, the name of the Lord is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So then he is much more than any materialist who has any level of knowledge, because there's a realization.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes, like, you know, he appreciates that actually there is a person behind the name, the form.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it becomes more intense, then he appreciates the qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally appreciates the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And then he describes, actually, one who can appreciate all the four, only then he's like most advanced, he's called as a devotee.
Mm. That's
a very specific word.
Very nice. Yeah, because that's the thing, it's the person who then has these. So pastimes means, because otherwise name, form, qualities, basically you're seeing in connection with him. Pastimes means with the devotees. So the topmost platform is with the devotees. Because the other three, he has those. As Atmarama, he has his name, his form, his qualities. Those are there. But the pastimes, that's because of his devotees. So that's why then without the devotees, there's no pastimes. So that platform is not appreciated until one appreciates devotees. Therefore, for Lord Chaitanya is Vaishnava Seva, right? Then in that platform you're going to taste then the glories of the name, you know, Krishna, and then you're going to give that to others, Jiva Dora. Yeah. Okay, how much more does this go?
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveda Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai
Jai Jai Go